The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good fellas. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Both these fellas serving the Lord and doing a great job, and appreciate so very much. Go back in your Bible, if you will, Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, where the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida." It says, "while he sent away the people." And as we think about times when the wind does cease, I want us to understand what is taking place here in the story, but I also want us to understand how the Bible teaches that when you go through storms in your life, that the Lord is going to be close to you. He's going to help you through those times of storms and through those times of tragedy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Bible says over in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he says, "And lo, I am with you always." The Bible says over in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 18, the Bible says, "I will not leave you comfortless." The Bible says, "I will come unto you." So no matter what type of storms you face in your life, and I realize that sometimes we go through things and you look at life and you say, "It's just not fair. Why did that come to me?" I remember the story as I was familiar with what took place years ago in April of 2011 when the tornadoes ripped through the state of Alabama. 250 people lie dead because of those tornadoes that ripped through that particular state. And in Wilmington, Alabama, there was a family I read about years ago by the name of the Hardy family. And the Hardy family decided when they saw and they heard the sirens of the tornadoes coming through, they decided that they were going to escape. They decided that we've got to get out of here and we have to get out of here quick. And so they looked outside and they thought, "We're going to go to that metal shed that we built years ago, and maybe the metal shed would protect us from the oncoming tornadoes." But as they started to head out there, all of a sudden the winds began to gush extra hard and tore that metal shed to pieces. Well, Dad looked around, did not know what to do with his wife and two children, so he had an idea. There was an old oak tree out there, and so he decided that they would climb up in that old oak tree. I don't really know if that was the best idea or not, but here he had another idea, and that was he was going to take a rope and as quickly as he possibly could wrap that rope around that oak tree and around the children, around his precious wife, and he'd wrap himself in there too, and he'd tie it extra tight. And he said, as he recorded it in the newspaper, he said that the winds blew, and he said, "We got cut, and we saw things blowing over this way and blowing over that way, and those tornadoes was ripping up everything, and we saw things hurling through the sky." And he said, "We saw all sorts of farm animals being pushed this way and pushed that away, and cars turned over, and houses, debris from houses from other areas flying through our piece of property." And he said, "But not one scratch came to us." Now, wait a minute, he said something else, and he said, "To God be the glory." Now, can I tell you that sometimes we have to understand that when you come to that which is the end of your rope, when you come to that which is a time where you look at it and you say, "I just don't know what to do," when the pressures of life become what you think is unsurmountable, you just cannot bear it, sometimes you have to just trust God through the storms. You have to be able to go to God and say, "God, I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm going through this." You say, "Preacher, why are you preaching this?" Because it doesn't matter what season that we're in, there's always people that face storms in their life. I mean, to us right now, with the National Youth Conference that we're having that's growing every year, to us it's a highlight. But can I tell you that everybody that sits in our congregation, it's not a highlight. Can I tell you, during the summer months, especially in the state of Texas, the weather is just hot. I mean, it is hot. When I first moved to Texas a little over 5 years ago and became the pastor of this church, somebody told me that you could take an egg and you could put it out there on the hood of your car and you could fry an egg. Now, I don't know how much of that is true, but I can tell you this, it sure is hot. I can tell you that out soul winning, when we're out soul winning and knocking doors, and I thank God. You know, yesterday, 130-some people came out soul winning, and that's a wonderful testimony. That was just for the Saturday soul winning rally. That wasn't including who came out on Thursday night, who came out on Tuesday morning, who came out on Thursday morning, rather, and who came out Thursday night, and who came out for the Sunday afternoon soul winning men's time that we have, and who came out at other times. That's not including all those different ones that came out. And can I tell you, God has given us a good group of people here. I mean, we have a desire to see people get saved. We have a desire to be able to help people. And we're not cocky about it. We're not arrogant about it. We're just trying to do the will of the Lord and help a bunch of people to be able to know how to go to heaven. And then after they get saved, we're just trying to help people to understand how to live their lives according to the Bible. Now, can I tell you, however, you're going to go through storms. Now, what is it that we should do when we go through storms? Let me give you a couple statements. Realize this, that in this particular case and in every case, God allows the storms to come. In this case, He sent the storm. The Bible says here in the book of Matthew, or book of Mark rather, book of Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, the Bible says, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go, it says, to the other side before, it says, onto, and so that which is Bethsaida, while He sent the multitude away. And the Bible says here, it says, and when He had sent them away, He departed into the mountain to pray. And when the eve was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And so here's a storm that is coming their way. And as they're in the midst of the storm, can I remind you, please, that God did not, he wasn't somebody that was shocked that they were in the storm. He was not somebody that looked down and said, what do I do? I'm God, and my people, my disciples, are in the midst of the storm. No, He knows when you're going through the storms. He knows when you're going through the valleys. And that's how come the Bible says that you're supposed to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's something significant. You understand, you're supposed to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not supposed to sit down when you're in a storm and sit down when you're in a valley and get poochie lip disease and suck your thumb and say it all must be coming to an end. It's not coming to an end. Can I remind you tonight, God is not dead. You don't have to worry about God not being able to answer your prayer. He's a living God, and He can help you, and He can strengthen you. But you've got to decide that you'll come to Him and let Him be God and let Him work things out in your life. And don't give up on God, because I tell you tonight, God is not going to give up on you. We understand that here they are, and they're in the midst of the storm. As some people look at storms, and they would say, well, I'll tell you what, that must be God's judgment. Might be because somebody's in sin, and that's the reason they're in the storm. Other people will believe such myths as this. They'll believe that because somebody is disobeying God, that's the only reason that they go through a storm. But can I tell you, sometimes God allows the storms to come in your life to be able to prove your faith. Sometimes God allows storms to come in your life to benefit you. You know, have you ever thanked God for your broken arm? Have you ever thanked God for your four broken ribs? Have you ever thanked God when one of your best friends turned on you? Well, the Bible says we're supposed to be thankful in all things. You know, maybe God would give us more if we became more thankful. Well, you know, I pulled up in the Walmart parking lot and somebody took my parking space. Didn't have your name on it. Maybe you can be thankful that you were gracious enough and kind enough to give away a parking spot. Well, you know, I went to church and somebody sat in my pew. Well, first off, they didn't know it was yours. And as many visitors as we have that come here, you know, you have to forgive some people sometime because they just did not know that the curvature that is in that pew belonged to you. You have to understand, you know, I'm saying that sometimes there's the storms. And when the storms do come, hey, you know what you can do? You can keep a smile on your face. You can serve God. You can go forward. You can be obedient to God. You can still step out. You can still go to church. You can still be able to praise God. You can still say amen. You can still give an offering. You can still be able to go forward even when the storms come. So here they are in the midst of the storm. The Bible says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. And I love this part. The Bible says, and go, it says, and to go to the other side before, it says, on to Bethsaida. All right, now wait a minute. What's he saying? He's saying, you go before me. He sent them to the other side. Now, by the way, him being God, don't you know that he knew that there was a storm brewing? Don't you know it wasn't a shock to him? Don't you know that when storms come in your life, that it is not a shock to God? And yet God still allows them to come, and God still, in some cases, sends you into the midst of that which is the storm. And then we have people who get bitter at God. Well, God, it's not right. God, I tell you, you sent me into the storm. You allowed the storm to happen in my life, and it's just not right. God, it's not right that you're allowing this to happen. Well, first off, let God be God and you be you, and you decide that God is always right. Amen. Well, God, I was born with my nose the same size as my dad, and I wanted a different size. Well, you know, I've grown, not upwardly, but outwardly, and it bothers me. Well, God, I never should have married that man. Well, dear Lord, you know, we've got 22 kids and Well, I have a brother. I didn't plan on it. I had a sister. I didn't plan on it. I had a friend. I didn't plan on it. I had a job that's turned out sour. Hey, listen, allow those storms to come. Thank God for the storms. Thank God for the God of the storms. Don't get bitter towards God. Don't get angry towards God. Don't get bent out of shape towards God. You let God be God. Stop putting God on trial. Stop putting God through a limitation program. And you let God be the one that can help you through the storms. I'm saying tonight, here we find out that he sent them into the storm. Let me give you another statement to consider tonight. The Bible teaches that he saw them. So here they are in the book of Matthew, or book of Mark, I keep saying Matthew, book of Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, the Bible says, and he saw them, the Bible says, toiling and rowing. The Bible says, for the wind was contrary unto them. So here's this brutish wind that is beating against the sides, front and back of the ship. And the winds were contrary. The Bible says, in about the fourth watch, it says, of the night, he cometh unto them, walking, and I love this, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. So here Jesus is walking on the very thing that's causing problems. He's coming walking on the problem. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how we, as being people, can get so down about a problem that, first off, God is in control of? And second off, I love the story of the three Hebrew boys, if you will, in the burning fiery furnace. And as they were in the burning fiery furnace, God, the Bible teaches here, burned all of the ropes. And if you study your Bible, that's the only thing that was burned off of them. And the Bible says that when they got out of the burning fiery furnace, you could not even scent the smoke. There was no scent of smoke on them. And when the king looked, Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked in there, here's what he said. He said, one, two, three, one, two, three. He said, wow. And the fourth one is like it unto the Son of God. And can I tell you, Jesus is going to go with you through the storm. I remember that there was a lady in our church in Tennessee, and she had had what we had thought a heart attack. And I was over in Kentucky when I pastored in Tennessee, and I got word about that. And so I rushed as quick as I could to her bedside because I thought she was dying. And I got pulled over by a police officer. And when I got pulled over by a police officer, he was kind of deliberately upset with me. And he said, I don't care if you're a preacher or not. I really don't care. You have no right to be driving that car with your emergency lights on just to go to a hospital to see your member. And I said, sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I've got every right and this is a bona fide emergency. I got a dear woman that's dying, and I've got to get to her bedside. Now, if you're going to give me a ticket, you go ahead and give me a ticket, but hurry up. Now, by the way, when you tell somebody to hurry up, and they have authority not to hurry up, they're not going to hurry up. So he took his time, and he's walking back and forth and double and triple checking my license plate to make sure that I hadn't stolen about five cars that week. And so he comes up, he writes that ticket, and I took it. I told the church about it, and it just so happened to be that I had a lady in the church by the name of Dell, and she's a sweet lady. She's one of our bus captains, and so she worked as a paralegal to a lawyer and also worked for the judge. And so she took it to the judge, and the judge brought me to court. I had to appear in court, and the judge held up the ticket, and he tore it up. He looked at that police officer and said, "Next time you stop a man of God, you better be careful." And in all essence, he said, "Because I'll have your job, sir." Now, I was standing there. And by the way, I didn't know what was going to happen. Matter of fact, I didn't even know that Dell was going to be in the courtroom that day, and I was scared to death. You ever get scared to death? And man, I was scared. I'm talking about I was sweating. I'm talking about I was shaking. And I walked inside that courtroom. And all of a sudden, when the judge said that, man, I was so relieved. I mean, it was so good. And I walked out. And I felt good about that. Now, you know why? Because I made it through the storm. See, we always feel good on the other side of the storm. But can I tell you, there's lessons that we have to learn while going through the storm. That's why I reiterate, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't tell you to sit down in the valley, and he didn't tell you to run through the valley. He said you're supposed to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? If you're running, you're going to miss everything that God's trying to teach you while you're in the valley. If you're sitting down and you're sulking and you're not paying attention and it's all about me and you got poochie lip disease and you're sucking on your thumb and feeling sorry for you and woe is me, you're not going to see everything that God is trying to teach you in the valley. And you will learn many different types of lessons in the valley than you will on the mountaintop. I mean, God wants you to slow down. Well, you know, so-and-so, they've not treated me right, and so-and-so, they're talking bad about me, and they're Facebooking about me, and all sorts of other booking about me, and I just don't know what to do. Hey, don't jerk the wheel. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Don't go after somebody. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's not talking about you. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're supposed to bless them that persecute you and do good unto them that are against you. Hey, you let God be God. You step up. You let God be the one that helps, and God be the one that encourages, and God be the one that can vindicate you, but you let God do that. Well, you know, I've got a nosy mother-in-law, and my nosy mother-in-law, she is always getting her nose in my business. I just feel like cutting off her nose. That'd be terrible. Sounds painful. Well, you know, my parents are always telling me, clean the room, clean the room, clean the room. It bothers me so much. Always telling me, clean the room. Preacher, do you have a solution? Yeah, clean the room. You know, sometimes we cause our own trouble. I got a pesky neighbor. We all do. I don't know of anybody in this room that doesn't have a pesky neighbor. Oh, by the way, but is that right? This came from a neighbor's house right here. Is that right? All this? Yeah. This is a neighbor's fence. Our teenagers did not steal it. Yeah, I thought they were good kids. No. Then he's tearing down the fence, and one of the guys went to him and said, "Hey, can we have that?" You know, so they came in here and built a house. Hey, I tell you what, if you need a house that needs to be built, if you'll see the ones that helped to build this, we could build you a house to live in just like this. You're welcome, Brother Kramer. Thank you. Job chapter 23 and verse 10, the Bible says, and he knoweth the way that I take. And he says, he hath tried me, and I shall come forth as gold. You know, sometimes the trying. Well, you know, I joined this church and I thought everybody be friendly. I thought everybody greet me every single service with a smile. You know, I heard about this church helping people. So I thought that when I joined, every hand I'd shake, they put money in my hand. You know, and I came to church and nobody's smiling. And the preacher's always saying, hey, can you help us run another bus? Can you help us pass out more tracts? Hey, are there somebody out there that we need to help? And you came to the church and you're saying, what about me? But it's not all about you. And sometimes we have to go through things whereby God uses things to be able to teach us. Psalm 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So I guess if I don't want to perish, I need to act godly, no matter what way I find myself walking therein. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Dr. Curtis Hudson changed his life verse, and at the end of his life, this became it. Says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. Well, I don't see the good in it. You don't have to see it right now. It's like taking vitamins, isn't it? You take them, you say, I tell you what, the vitamin said it's going to give me energy. I took one, and it didn't work. Come on, that's like coming to a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. You walk in. You walk in. And you say, man, it's just not what I thought it would be. I thought everybody in the church would be perfect. I thought they'd all be perfect. I thought I'd join the perfect church. No, there is no perfect church, friend. There is no perfect church. Well, I thought the pastor be perfect. No, there's no perfect pastor. Now, I thank God, you know, I have assistant pastors, and we have a good-sized faculty and a good-sized staff for our college, and these are good, precious people, servants of the Lord, but I can't find a one of them yet to be perfect. Every single one of the fellows that I've hired and ladies I've hired and I myself and my family, you know, every single one of us has shortcomings. There's nobody here that's arrived. Well, you know, I just wanted to join a church where everything was right. Now, I could be the smart aleck and say it was till you showed up. But to be honest with you, that's not even true. You know, we got dear people in our church that hurt. Brother Kelly, I don't know if it's that way where you pastor or not, but it sure is here. You know, I got people that come to church, they can barely make it to church physically. I got people that come to church, and because they have physical problems, they have a hard time keeping their eyes open. It's not because the preacher's all that boring. But it might be because there's a physical problem. You know, I've got people in church that not only have physical problems, but can I tell you, I've got people in church, if you will, that come from all walks of life. I said, I love our church. We're very multicultural. We're very, very, very much an international church. You can look around and figure that out pretty quick. Reminds me a little bit about what heaven's going to be like. But to take a bunch of people that come from a different type of culture and you put them in a church and you think, boy, they'd fuss and fight. I mean, after all, they want their right. Oh, no. No, not if somebody surrendered. They just want to love Jesus and obey Jesus. And here's what we see. We see this. He saw them. He saw them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, here Paul going through everything that he went through. And the Bible says, for our light affliction, says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said this. He said, look, here he was. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails, if you will. He was in the sea, if you will, 3 nights plus, and almost drowned, and almost beat by his own countrymen. I mean, he had all these things came upon him. And yet the Bible says it. Here he was. He said, oh, that's a light affliction. That's a light affliction. He said, man, in jail, light affliction. In the sea, light affliction. Beat by my own countrymen, light affliction. And by the way, when you go through turbulent times, it's just a light affliction. You know, you're only here for a little while. You're only here for a little while, and you're going to pass away. I bring you good news tonight. One day you will die. But we're only here for a little while. Then after a while, it's over. The Bible says it's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. That's your life. That's your life. You might as well give God all of your life and serve God all your life. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. Here you go. He sustained them. He sustained them. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 49. The Bible says, and when they saw him walking, it says, upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit and cried out. You know, they were so much involved in the storm. They were so much captivated by the things that was happening right around them that they did not even know the Savior. And you can get so bogged down with your finances and you get so bogged down with your trouble and your relationships or your job challenges that here Jesus is right in the midst and Jesus wants to help you with the problem and you don't even recognize him in the problem. Verse 50, the Bible says, and they all saw him and were troubled. And they ought to see him and say, oh, he's here. Yes, it's going to be okay. Jesus is now in the midst, walking on the sea that's troubling us, and wow, he's here. That's not what they said. The Bible says, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I often have said about my granddaddy, and I was raised on a 280-acre farm in Millers, Maryland. First 6 years of my life, I did not know my parents. I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodist people, and then Mom and Daddy came to pick me up, and I was introduced to the Catholic faith and was raised Catholic the rest of the years until salvation at age 18. And I remember being on that farm, and I was scared, and I would sleep with my grandpa that was the man that was taking care of me on the farm, and he had this big bed, and I remember sleeping on the second story of the farmhouse. We had no air condition, we had no heater and anything like that, and during the winter months it got really cold, and he put these big old blankets over us, these big quilts that was over us, and man, I couldn't move. I mean, I was just like that, but I remember looking at him at night, and I was so scared. As a little boy, I was so scared. And I look at him, I say, Paul, are you looking at me? Paul, are you looking at me? And all Paul had to say is, Mike, I'm looking at you. And just by him saying, Mike, I'm looking at you, all my fears went away. You know why? It was simply because I knew that he was right there. I love the story of Ira Sankey. Ira Sankey was over in the London England area, and Moody was preaching, and Ira Sankey, of course, was the song leader of Moody, and so they just preached a big meeting, and this was the meeting he was preaching to the gypsies, and the people of London didn't want the gypsies to come in, so they said, fine, we'll go to them. I love the story. It's back then when the first overcoats came out. And so they were walking back from the meeting, and he had bought his son an overcoat and said, now, son, there's some icy passages there through the woods. And son, I know right where they are. I've been walking this trail back and forth to the meeting. And son, I'll tell you what, we'll walk back through the woods together. But when we get there, he said, at the edge of the woods, I suggest you hold my hand, because if you don't hold my hand, you might slip and fall and get hurt. And the son said, no, Daddy, I'm fine. No, Daddy, I'm fine. I'll be okay. I don't need to hold your hand. It'll be okay. And he had that trench coat on, that overcoat on, very new and stylish, if you will. And so they were walking through the woods. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you have anything that's new and stylish. You need God more than you need new and style. They were walking through the woods, and all of a sudden that boy put his hands in his jacket, and he hit that patch of ice that he couldn't see, that black ice, and his feet began to slip this way and slip that away, and he landed up on his back. When he landed up on his back, his daddy extended his hand, and by the way, when you're down, you'll take anybody's hand. His daddy extended his hand down to that young boy, and he grabbed his daddy's hand. His daddy pulled him up and said, now, son, he said, you don't have to hold my hand the rest of the way. You can make it on your own if you want to. He said, no, Daddy, I like to hold your hand right now. But it's sometimes when we go through stuff like that, that it wakes us up. I've seen people that didn't love God. I've seen people that are Christians that got away from the Lord, got backslidden. All of a sudden, cancer hits them. It's funny how all of a sudden they truly desire to get close to God in the time of trouble. I preached in many prisons, and I can't tell you how many people that make a decision in prison. I believe they're genuine. I believe they made the decision that was genuine. But it was because of where they were that God had to use that to wake them up. I've seen people that say, okay, I've gone through a tragic divorce. I've lost my wife. I've lost my kids. And now I'm going to turn to God. Why wait? Why wait? Well, I tell you what, things are going okay right now, and I'm okay. Hey, you ought to be better than okay. You ought to decide that you want to get close to God and let God work in your life and get the trash out and get the garbage out and get close to God and let God help you. Here they are. They're in the midst of the sea. And the Bible says that here he is, and there he's walking. He said, look, be of good cheer. Hey, it's okay. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It's almost like Paul in that ship. All those guys on the ship, those Maritan, they were running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Paul stands in the midst of them and says, hey, now wait a minute. He says, be of good cheer. He said, for an angel met with me this night. And he said, it's going to be okay. What did he say? Be of good cheer. You know, you can be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. You can be of good cheer when everything goes wrong. And by the way, can I tell you, in our nation, we need some people that is going to have God like Paul prayed. Paul prayed that the Holy Ghost of God would have free course through him. Through him. Wouldn't it be God if you? Wouldn't it be great if you were so full of God that you went to the workplace tomorrow morning and they were just kind of set back a wee bit just because of the fact that you had God all over you? Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good that they saw such a difference in you, that they saw Christianity the way that God meant for them to see Christianity, and that you were not a stumbling block, but dear friend, you were a stepping stone? Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. Wouldn't it be good if somebody says, every time I get around you, you just remind me of God? Wouldn't that be good? You know, why is it that, that there seems to be, Brother Crutcher, but there just seems to be that in our country, there just seems to be an apathy. I mean, there just seems to be, if you will, fellas, that it's, you know, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to leave the same way that I came to church. And can I tell you, it ought not to be that way. You ought to come to church and you ought to be thirsty for God, and come to church and let God work in your life, and come to church and don't say, I'm going to come to church and leave the same way that I came. But you come to church and you say, there's a dear holy God that wants to mean business with me and wants to work in my life, and I wants to change my life, and God can do that. Amen. But you got to decide that even in the midst of the storm, you're not going to get bitter towards the Lord. You've got to decide to let God work in your life. Watch this, if you will. Look at verse 51. I'm getting ready to shut her down, but watch this, verse 51. The Bible says, and he went up onto them into the ship. Now, and what I think is so neat about that is that Jesus would come not just in the midst of your storm, but Jesus will come and sit beside you. He'll hold your hand in the midst of the storm. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I'm going through this all by myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. But you've got to allow him to be able to work with you in the midst of the storm and rely on his presence. Now watch this, if you will. The Bible says, and he went up onto them into the ship. And the Bible says, watch what happened. And the wind ceased. Okay, here's what we do. Brother Craig, Brother Jonathan, stand up. Stand up. I call these guys on the phone. I get on the phone. Got my little cell phone here. Mine comes compact like a 3x5 card. So I call them on the phone, okay? Get your phones out. Ready? Here we go. Get your phones out. Here we go. You got real phones? Hey, look at that. I just got a 3x5 card. Okay. I treat my staff guys better than me. No, I'm kidding. Okay, here we go. So I call them on the cell phone. Answer the phone. Ready? You know, Jonathan, you first. And I say, Brother Jonathan, I've got trouble. Boy, I got trouble. I just don't know what to do. I tell you, this thing has come my way, and I just don't know what to do. And I need help. And oh, please help me. Oh, please pray for me. Oh, I need encouragement. Oh, I don't know what to do. I tell you, the world is coming apart, and it's coming apart in my life right now, and I just don't know what to do. Give me some advice. Tell me what to do. Talk to me. Why are you so silent? Talk to me. Help me out a little bit. I just don't know what to do. And, you know, and he would say, well, if you just be quiet, I'd talk to you. All right, I'm not satisfied with him. So what do? You know, I call somebody else. So I call Brother Craig. And I do the same thing. But what about meeting with God? See, sometimes I wonder if we really believe in the Lord like we should believe in the Lord. You know, we got all this television stuff. The flat screen stuff. Hey. I mean, we got all the phones where you can talk to it, and it talks back to you. I mean, you got all this stuff, and can I tell you, listen to me. Sometimes you have to meet with God. Sometimes you got to ask God to work in your life. I still believe the power of God is real today. I still believe that a man of God, yea, somebody that is a student of God's Word, a surrendered Christian, can have the power of God today. I believe that. I believe that you can go to God and God can fill you as a daddy and God can fill you as a businessman and God could take and fill you as a bus captain and God could take and fill you and use you. And that's what we need. Our nation is in dire strait, but I'm telling you, if revival is going to come, revival is going to come and it's going to start at the church house. Amen. Watch this. Be seated, please. Here's what it says, verse 51. The Bible says, and they went up onto, it says, onto them, he went up onto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. The Bible says, in themselves, beyond measure, and wondered. Well, first off, they shouldn't have wondered. And to be amazed, I could understand that, but they've been walking with the Lord Jesus for some time now. Come on. Like Rhoda answering that door after they prayed all night for old Peter to get released from prison. And she got so excited when Peter showed up at the door, she slammed the door. Well, wait a minute. That was God answering prayer. Hey, God can work in your children's life. Don't give up on your children. God can work in your grandchildren's lives. Don't give up on your grandchildren. God can work in your neighbor's life. God is real. God can work. God can change lives. God can save souls. But it takes somebody that's surrendered and somebody that's going to step out and somebody that just believes God. And you do what God has told you to do and help them. That's what it takes. Now, wait a minute. So here he is. He's coming to him, walking on the problem. And by the way, problems are always beneath him, not more powerful than him. So he comes walking on the problem. You ready? I'm done. Then he comes up into the ship, and he sits right there in the midst of the problem with them. And sometime upon entering that ship, the wind ceased. Now you can live your life if you want to without him. Well, I'm saved, preacher! But you can live your life as a Christian without relying on him, without trusting him, without putting more faith in him. And it's going to be a long life. You're not going to be able to tell your kids and your grandkids, boy, look how good God's been. You're not going to be able to run into them and say, look at this prayer, how God answered that prayer. Look at this prayer and look how God did this. I still believe that God wants to do mighty works today through his children. I still believe God can use you and that God wants to bless you. I still believe you can be a soul winner today. Yes, today. I was out knocking doors yesterday, and I was going down the street, and I came across this girl, and her name was Emily, 19 years of age, and she met me there at the door, and I showed Emily, she came from a Catholic background, I showed Emily how to be saved, and she bowed her head, and she trusted Christ, and she said, "I've only got one thing to say," 19 years of age. I said, "What's that?" She said, "This is good." "This is good." I said, "Emily, you're right. This is very good." Out knocking doors, I walked down the other side of the street, and I was coming back with my men's soul winning team, and there was a lady sitting out in her driveway. Her name was Heather. And I walked up to Heather, 36 years of age, and I walked up to Heather, and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "You sure can." I said, "We're out in the neighborhood, and we're just inviting people to come to church, and what is your name?" And she said, "My name is Heather." I said, "Isn't that amazing?" She said, "What's so amazing about my name being Heather?" I said, "I have a daughter-in-law. Her name is Heather." I said, "That's neat to me. To me, that's neat." I said, "Heather, isn't that neat to you?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I guess so. I said, "How long you lived here?" She said, "Just moved here." I said, "Where from?" She said, "Downtown Dallas." I said, "Hey, Mesquite's a beautiful place to live. Man, it's got great people. I'll tell you what, there's a great church in Mesquite I know about." She said, "Really? What is it?" I said, "It's Parkside Baptist Church." "Oh," she said, "that won't do for me." She said, I'm Catholic." I said, "Well, that's okay. That's all right. We have all sorts of different people that visit our church, and man, don't knock it until you come." I said, "But more important than that, Heather, let me ask you this. My daughter-in-law is going to heaven. And by the way, it's not because her name is Heather. What about you? Where are you going to go?" She said, "Well, I think I'll go to heaven." I said, "Really? Tell me about it. If I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, what would you tell me to do?" And she said, "Well, you need to be good." I said, "Okay." "You need to obey the Bible." I said, "Okay." You need to go to church." I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, you need to read your Bible." I said, "Okay." I could tell she was kind of like, you know. I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you need to pray." I said, "Heather, now look, if I was to tell you every single one of those answers, though you believe they were good, was wrong. But I've got the right answer. Wouldn't you want to see that?" And she said, "Well, yes, sir, I would." I said, "Okay, let me show you what the right answer is about going to heaven." No, I cracked open that New Testament. I started to show her how to be saved, and she started asking questions, and she had some really good questions. But she asked questions, and after a little while, here's what she did. She bowed her head, and she received Christ as Savior, and I'm telling you, sir, that was good stuff. Amen. Amen. And I walked away from there feeling pretty good. You know why? Because somebody got saved. Amen. Amen. Well, can I tell you? Listen, you get to the place and to the point in your life where it's not about you, and somebody's talking about me. Let it get away from that, and get close to God, and come to church, and listen to preaching, and get yourself in the place where God can speak to your heart. Put yourself aside. Amen. Let God work in your life. You'll be amazed how God can help you through the storms. Amen. You'll be amazed that when you're going through the storms, you look around, He's right there beside you. And He'll help you. And He'll even calm the storms.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.